kids go to bed, I will go out there and just swing for hours. And while the sun goes down and the fireflies come out, and I'll sit out there and read or listen to music or just sit and swing and take in the sights and sounds of the neighborhood as nightfall comes in. It has very quickly become my favorite place in the entire world. Just right there on the front porch on that swing, it fills my heart and makes me happy. Like I get a lot of joy just from sitting out there on that porch swing for hours and swinging the night away. So what gives you all joy? What gives you joy? Who wants to break the ice and go first? What gives you joy?
Yes. My dog, Annie.
Your dog, Annie. What kind of dog is Annie?
A chocolate lab.
A chocolate lab. That's a great dog. Peace. We're actually going to talk about peace next week. So you're ahead of the game with that one. What else? What gives you joy? Time with your family. Any time with your family? Are there specific things that, like, really?
Just about any time.
Any time with your family. Okay. Yeah.
Playing sports, watching sports, being outdoors. I hear this all the time, that there's so many things that give us joy. And the question comes to mind, what happens when we lose those things? Because all of these things that we've named can be taken away from us. You know, we can lose our families, our friends, our kids, grandkids, spouses, parents, grandparents, siblings. Pretty much all of us have lost someone that we love. Relationships can come to an end through death, divorce, a breakup, a falling out. We can lose the people in our lives who give us joy. Singing and music gives so many people joy, and you can lose your ability to sing or even to hear music. Music can be taken away from us. Food can be taken away from us. There are plenty of people in the world or right here in our community who do not have enough food. And I know plenty of people who have lost the ability to cook that used to give them so much joy. Like, they can't do that anymore. Being outdoors, working outdoors, the beach, just flowers, all of this stuff. There are times when we have to give up working outdoors, being outdoors, playing sports, exercising, running. There comes a time when we lose the physical ability to do that. You know, flowers can wither and fade. There comes a time when we have to leave the beach and go away from it. Even if our jobs give us joy, which there are a few people who their jobs give them joy, there comes a time when that has to end. One day, even if it's 50 years from now, I'm not going to be able to swing on that porch swing anymore. Or when winter comes, I'm not going to be able to swing on that porch swing for a few months. All of these things can be taken away from us. What do we do then? When we lose the people or the things in our lives that give us joy. And I think the problem is that in our culture, we have confused joy with pleasure. And there's a difference between the two. Pleasure is external, right? It's brought about by something outside of you, something other than you. Pleasure depends on your circumstances, your surroundings, your activities. Most of the time, pleasure is brought about by something physical. It's about how someone or something makes you feel. It comes from what you are doing, and it's temporary because eventually what you are doing has to end. Joy, on the other hand, is internal. It results from a fullness, an abundance inside of you. Joy does not depend on your circumstances, your surroundings, or your activities. It can exist apart from those things. You can be struggling emotionally or physically and still have joy. While pleasure comes from what you're doing, joy arises from being fully satisfied with who you are, no matter what you are doing or what is happening. You can still have joy when all those other things are taken away from you. Pleasure is temporary, but joy is lasting. And don't get me wrong here, pleasure is not a bad thing. Like, God has provided us with things in this world that are pleasurable, you know, relationships, beautiful music, delicious food, or God's given us the ability to create these things that are pleasurable. And they're good. We just have to make sure that our sense of self is not dependent on those things. That our joy is in the giver, not the gift. We must strive to find a fulfillment that is not dependent on our circumstances or our surroundings. C.S. Lewis once said, "I sometimes wonder whether all pleasures are not substitutes for joy." Whether all pleasures are not substitutes for joy. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, "Whoever loves pleasure will suffer want." But Jesus says in today's gospel, or in John's gospel, no one will take your joy from you. Whoever loves pleasure will suffer want, but no one will take your joy from you. How do we get that kind of joy in our lives? So Paul talks about joy as a fruit of the Spirit, as an outgrowth of the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And Jesus says in this reading that he is the true vine and God is the vine grower. And apart from him, we can bear no fruit. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, Jesus says. So, to bear this kind of fruit and have this kind of joy in our lives, we must abide in Christ, is what Jesus says. Now, what does that mean? What does it look like to abide in Christ? We talked last week about how Paul starts off this whole list of the fruit of the Spirit with love. Because Paul says, if you don't have love, you won't be able to have joy and peace and patience and kindness and all these other things. It all starts with love. And Jesus says here that as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. So abiding in Christ starts with abiding in his love. And to abide means to dwell in, to remain in, to not depart from. So to abide in Christ's love means that we do not depart from it. We remain in it always. And Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Keep my commandments and you will abide in my love. Well, what are his commandments? We're not talking about the Ten Commandments here or the 600 plus commandments that are in Jewish law in the Old Testament. Jesus has just said to his disciples at the end of chapter 13, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus says that all the law is summed up in this commandment that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We abide in Christ by abiding in his love, and we abide in his love by loving God and loving our neighbor. If we do that, Jesus says, his joy will be in us, and our joy will be made complete by loving God, loving our neighbor. This word that Jesus and Paul both use for joy is the Greek word chara. Let me hear you say chara. Chara. Chara comes from the same Greek word as the word for grace, charis. So there's chara and charis. That word grace is defined a lot of different ways. Unconditional love, blessing, favor. But one of the definitions is that which affords joy. Grace is that which affords joy. Unconditional love affords joy. When we are loved and accepted as we are for who we are, that brings about joy in us because we're not trying and working so hard to meet some standard in order to be worthy of love. We're loved as we are. When we love and accept others as they are, for who they are, where they are, that brings about joy, both in them and in us, because we aren't spending our time and energy trying to make them meet some standard to be worthy of our love. It's saying, you are good enough as you are for me to love you. I can love you just the way you are. That gives them and us joy. What we see here is that joy and grace come from the same place. They come from God. One author says, joy refers to a delight in God and God's salvation for the sheer beauty and worth of who God is. The Holy Spirit's joy is not dependent on external circumstances, but is deep-seated and is rooted in the heart of God, filled with love for our Lord. Joy is rooted in the heart, filled with love for our Lord. Joy is a fullness that exists inside of you that no one else can touch because it is the result of love between you and God, which Jesus then calls us to share with our neighbor. So it's this relationship between us and God. Jesus says, open that up to others. in that we find joy. If you are filled with an awareness of the love that God has for you, and you're striving to share that love with your neighbor, then it doesn't matter what is happening in your life, you can still have joy. You could lose your job, you could lose a relationship, you could get a bad diagnosis, you can have all these things happening in your life, but you can still have joy because joy is not dependent on all of that. Joy is the result of God's love for you, and nothing can touch that. In just a moment, we're going to come to this table and be reminded of the love that God has for us, that God loves us so much. God became one of us in Jesus Christ, gave his life for us, his body broken and blood shed, that we might be made whole. There is nothing that you have to do to earn that love, and there is nothing you can do to lose it. It is a gift given out of the goodness of God. God wants you to have joy in this life. We just have to be careful not to confuse the things that make us happy or make us feel good for a deep, abiding, lasting joy. Joy is a fullness that exists inside of you when you are able to fully and unconditionally love, because you know that you are fully and unconditionally loved. And when you have that fullness, even in the hard times, no one can take that away from you. So let us give thanks to God before we share in this meal. Let us pray.